Issues Etc. guests are frequent contributors to the Lutheran Witness magazine. The Lutheran Witness is a must-have resource for every Issues Etc. listener. You can receive an annual print and digital subscription for less than $20. Learn more at cph.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine. cph.org/witness or 1-800-325-3040.
If you call, I will answer. If you fall, I'll pick you up. And if you call,
we always like to hear questions from our listeners. Some of them are simple questions of what is the Bible really saying here, like, what are those waters doing in the book of Genesis before the seas have been separated from the land? It seems that the order of creation there, the literal order of God's creating things and dividing things, may be a little mixed up. We can answer those and other questions, like more technical questions about Lutheran denominations. Welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live on this Friday afternoon, May the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line for the first part of the program. Then Pastor Will Whedon joins us to study the hymn, Christ is the World's Redeemer. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. And the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
We all just returned from vacation yesterday, refreshed, renewed, refocused, and ready to respond to listeners' email and the Issues Etc. comment line, my favorite episode.
Two out of three. Refreshed, renewed, focus not so great. But
what's wrong with the focus? Why are you not focused?
I'm not used to starting with listener email.
That's true. Well, we did have a show yesterday, so it is, you know, we almost had to do listener email yesterday, but at the last minute, we were able to secure interviews with Jennifer Roback Morse and Ken Sherb. So it allowed us to punt on email and comment line to today. And here we are.
And here we are, returning the punt.
How was your vacation?
I stayed home, as I usually do, and just got a lot of things done. Got a brake job done on my wife's van that was long overdue.
On that subject, I need brakes on that truck. How much? You probably won't do it because you don't have time.
I could do
it. What would you charge me?
I wouldn't charge you.
I want to pay you, but I want to pay you less than what a mechanic's going to pay. So if I drop off or just we swap cars one day, is this something you could do?
Absolutely.
And what would it cost me?
If all you want to do is have the brake pads replaced, that's quite easy to do. I mean, it's time consuming and you scrape your knuckles, but it's really quite easy to do. So, and that's probably all you have to have done. That's all I ever do, except when once with the previous truck, I wore the rotor all the way down to no rotor. Just, you know, the fins that are inside the rotor, Craig?
I do. Yes.
You could see them. So, and you could feel it when you were pressing the brake. The minute I felt that vibration, I knew I'd gone too far. So,
Todd Wilkin, yeah. The man who has no bounds on knowledge when it comes to the automobile.
So, but I know you think this is mindless banter. I'm being totally serious here.
I can change the brakes.
But do you have time to do it?
That's a question.
Well, let me ask you this. When is the next community theater?
Can you fit it in between plays?
Well, the next community, we actually have rehearsals early. I mean, auditions early in June because we're going from one musical. There's a show in between and then we're starting another one. So I have time, but the question of both remuneration and time is better addressed to my wife, and I suggest you do it when she's in a good mood. And then, because if I say, hey, I'm going to be doing Jeff's breaks this weekend.
Okay, let me ask you this. What could it be done? What equipment do you need to do it here?
I have everything.
And she'd never know about it.
I have everything I need.
So you could do it here.
Yes.
We could, before the show, you come on a morning. First of all, I guess you would have to, somehow you have to look at the severity of the problem to figure out what parts you need, correct?
Yeah, but chances are you just have worn pads that are overworn. Is it braking well?
If I push really hard to the floor, it makes a grinding sound.
Okay, you're down to the backing of the pads. Okay. Is it past the screeching sound? There should be a screeching sound briefly before the grinding sound begins.
I don't remember the screeching sound. I just recall.
Doesn't he listen to the radio or have earbuds in while he's driving? He can't hear a screeching.
Oh, you can hear it. It's you guys. If you ever hear me coming in, you'll know.
You've probably scored the rotor on the thing, but you can be a perfectionist. I know listeners are going to get to me here. You can be a perfectionist, and my son is calling me. You can be a perfectionist and take the rotors in and have them reground by somebody, or you could just do what I do, which is put on new pads and worry about it later.
Okay, so
why don't you read an email so I can
respond to something?
Yes, my son is calling me.
Okay, he doesn't know that the show runs live 3 to 5.
No, he knows that.
Oh, okay, all right. Jason, Tucson, Arizona. On his podcast today, Dr. Albert Mohler talked about the San Francisco Archbishop denying Nancy Pelosi communion over his stance on abortion. While trying to make a particular point, Mohler made comments very critical of Catholic sacramental beliefs, and one could infer his opinion would apply to Lutheran beliefs as well. How can Lutherans and issues, etc., continue to welcome Al Mohler as a guest speaker at events when he denies one of the key tenets of our doctrine?
Well, we're not asking him to come and speak on the Lord's Supper or on anything related to the sacraments. And he's fully aware of what our doctrine is, and he's fully aware of the disagreement that exists between Baptists and Lutherans on our doctrine. I dare say he probably knows Lutheran doctrine better on the Lord's Supper. He doesn't believe it, but he knows it probably better than many Lutheran pastors do, because he's conscientious about the differences between denominational beliefs. But we're asking him to come and speak on an entirely unrelated subject where we can agree with him entirely. And this is what Christians do. You know, where we can agree with one another, we agree. Where we disagree, we don't pretend that the disagreement doesn't exist. So we would not ask Dr. Mohler to come and address the issue of the Lord's Supper because his teaching differs from us. But if we're asking him to come and talk about making the case, in his case, what does he mean? I just typed it up a few minutes ago when I was working on the brochure.
Making the case against Christian silence.
Christian silence, that's right. Making the case against Christian silence, I think we can agree with him entirely on that. And that's why we've asked him to come and speak on that subject. We've had Roman Catholics speak before on subjects where we can agree. We've had Eastern Orthodox come and speak before on subjects where we agree. And it's not that we avoid the fact that there's disagreement. We, in fact, acknowledge that there's disagreement.
It's no different.
But they're here as expert guests on a subject where what they are teaching there is not contrary to Scripture at all, but in accord with Scripture.
The Making the Case Conference is no different than this show.
Yeah, exactly.
In the rare exceptions that in the past we've been able to secure interviews like Tim LaHaye or Joyce Meyer or Greg Laurie, or who are some of the Robert Schuller. That's a different.
Well, that's entirely different because then we're not dealing with people who err in one point.
We're coming on. They're going to talk about the book. We're going to talk about their book.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So the conference is no different than the show. And Albert Mohler has been on this program for 20 plus years. Now, Jason has a really good separate question. Please address non-Lutheran theologians and pastors who hold Martin Luther as a hero of the Reformation, yet reject Lutheranism. How can you embrace Luther but reject the church that bears his name?
Well, a lot of people do that. Some of them don't know what Luther actually taught. If they actually knew what Luther taught, then they would not embrace him so wholeheartedly. Some of them know what Luther taught, but they're kind of cherry-picking Luther's teaching, and so they're embracing him for the things that they think he got right without really rejecting him. And it's okay to regard Martin Luther as a hero of church history or however you want to put it and still disagree with him. That's fine. There are things that Luther himself taught that I don't agree with, but I'm not bound to what Luther taught. I'm bound to what the Lutheran confessions say. Not what Martin Luther said whenever he happened to open his mouth. So you can do that. I don't begrudge them that. I wish that they would really understand what Luther actually taught. I'll take Al Mohler as an example. Here's a guy who's done the work and he knows what Luther taught. He doesn't agree with all of it. But he would still say, where Luther was right, he was right, and he was made a significant contribution to the life of the church. I don't begrudge him that at all. Now, if he were to say, I don't really know what Luther taught here. He was a great reformer, which he wouldn't do. That's not an honest approach to Luther.
I think most, in response to Jason's second question, and we did a great interview with the late sainted Paul McCain, Luther didn't go far enough. He started things, but he didn't go far enough. And in most cases, it's completely purging the church.
Right. And, you know, I think those who are honest would say, there are some who would say Luther didn't go far enough. He should have taken this one more step or another step, and he just didn't get it quite right. And, you know, we say that about other reformers. We say that about Jan Hus. We say he got a couple things really good, but he didn't go far enough. But that doesn't mean we reject Jan Hus as a reformer. We just say where he's right, he's right, and where he isn't, he isn't. It's like it's the way you deal with any person of history, any theologian, any church father. You affirm what it is that they taught correctly, and you reject what it is that they taught incorrectly, which is exactly what the Lutheran confessions do. They go through and they affirm what is taught correctly, and they reject what isn't. So they'll say, we believe, teach, and confess, and we deny. Those two things always go hand in hand.
And you also have to remind people that Lutherans don't follow the teachings of Martin Luther exclusively.
We have to,
although some people think we do.
We have to remind Lutherans that we don't do that, and non-Lutherans. And again, to come back to a guy like Dr. Albert Mohler, he is fully aware of the fact that we don't bind ourselves to everything Luther taught. And I'm sure he would commend us for that, because there are some things where Luther got it wrong. I think what you deal with when you have Lutherans who basically go to Luther rather than to the scripture and the confessions, it's just lazy theology. It's just wanting to find something that you already believe and someone who already said it. And it literally is cherry picking theology. I want to teach this. I want to believe this. Ah, Luther said it. That cinches it. It doesn't. It doesn't cinch it. Now, if the Lutheran confessions say it, echoing scripture, then it does cinch it. We never play Luther off against scripture or the confessions, although sad to say, many Lutherans do.
Speaking of making the case, we have created a waiting list for this year's 2022 Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th in Chicago at Concordia University in River Forest, Illinois. If you're interested in getting on that waiting list, first come, first serve, send an email to Lynn, L-Y-N-N, at issuesetc.org, Lynn at issuesetc.org. First come, first serve. We always get cancellations at the last minute. So get your name on the waiting list for the 2022 Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And if there are cancellations, Lynn will let you know. And if you're at the head of the list, she'll get you on the list. We're going through listener email and the Issues, Etc. comment line, the email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382.
As today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
Issues, Etc. guests are frequent contributors to the Lutheran Witness magazine. The Lutheran Witness is a must-have resource for every Issues, Etc. listener. You can receive an annual print and digital subscription for less than $20. Learn more at cph.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine. cph.org/witness or 1-800-325-3040.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's fables and classic children's literature, math, and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.
With the oldest deaconess program of the LCMS, Concordia University Chicago has fully certified young women for the deaconess vocation for more than 40 years. I'm Deaconess Kristen Wasilak, Program Director for Deaconess Studies. Help us identify the next generation of servants to care for souls, engage our communities in mercy, and teach God's Word. Learn more about Concordia Chicago's deaconess program today at cuchicago.edu. cuchicago.edu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Friday. A little bit later, we'll be studying the hymn Christ is the World's Redeemer with Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
While we are on vacation, we played the conference audio from the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. And here's some feedback on one of the presentations from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Hi, this is Scott from St. Louis. I just finished listening to Ross Douthat's presentation at the 2019 conference, and I was struck by kind of how cold and analytical it was, and how different it is from what we're hearing with Peter Bender's just marvelous discussion on the St. Peter's option. How does Christ get lost so much by our supposed religious, in this case Catholic, religious writers? Do they not understand just how powerful Christ is and the love of Christ can be and the grace of Christ can be? Thank you for all that you all do. I spend hours every week listening to you. Probably has made me completely crazy, but, I just love you guys.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you especially for listening. Ross Douthat is a columnist for the New York Times. He is not explicitly a religious columnist. He happens to be a religious man and a writer. So we had him on precisely because he is kind of a voice in the wilderness, not because he brings religion to the New York Times, but because he just brings a Christian worldview to the New York Times and to his writing. And we were just fascinated with many of the things that he had written. He's actually written several books that are tremendous books, not commenting on, he does write about religion sometimes, and he writes from, a generally religious perspective, but we don't expect him to come to the conference and speak as a theologian, but as a journalist and as an observer of the American culture. And that's essentially what we had him do. We wanted him to give us his observations on the current state of Christianity in America. And that's what he delivered. It was, he was an analyst. I mean, isn't that
actually it was making the case for the need for Christians in the public square.
Right. So, he's a Christian in the public square, a very prominent one. He is. You don't get into a more secular corner of the public square than the New York Times. So he was, I think, uniquely suited to address that issue and to essentially analyze the place of Christianity in America, past, present, and future.
And he's a layperson. Unlike
right, not
Pastor Peter Bender in the St. Peter option, who's an ordained clergy.
Exactly. And that's the very reason why we have Pastor Bender presenting his stuff in the series on the St. Peter option, because he brings that very deep theology, biblical theology, into the subject of Christians living in the public square. And something we did not expect Ross Douthat to do, because he's not a trained theologian.
And I don't think... I know the New York Times would not allow Peter Bender to write a column on religion and culture for the New York Times.
Maybe one, but that would be it. He'd get one shot, one bite at the apple, so to speak.
Right. I mean, he's not, you start quoting a bunch of Bible passages and there you go.
Right.
Yeah, there's your one shot. Mark, Justin, Texas. More making the case conference email. Are you surprised, Wilkin?
No.
Wait, is anybody saying anything about Bill Barr, that Bill Barr's there this year?
Are you sure about that? I heard that's a rumor. I think that's just a scandalous rumor.
I heard a spot running during Craig's pre-production, and it sounded like Bill Barr, but it might have been Jeff calling in pretending to be Bill Barr.
Hey, Todd, I got a question for you. What are you doing this weekend? I got some landscaping and I need some house, some siding repair.
Yeah. On the subject of the brakes, it's probably best that I do it here.
That's what I said. That's why Maria will never know. She'll never know. Just bring what you need.
I'll get
my checkbook out. You have to be cheaper than a mechanic, right?
I'm happy to take your money, but I haven't lasted 35 years as of a couple days ago with my dear wife on the principle she'll never know. That's really not a good principle. She has to know. So there'll be honesty, but at least I won't be changing your brakes in my garage on a weekend where she expects my undivided attention.
I like the way you think. Boy, that is a seasoned veteran in the marriage department. Mark, Justin, Texas. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller says, as a Lutheran, we have not given up on one church united around the Lord's word. My question is, Albert Mohler is speaking at this year's Making the Case conference. He is Baptist, not Lutheran. No agreement on communion. Bill Barr, Roman Catholic, no agreement on communion. Will there be an attempt to come to agreement? I'm sorry, but I'm convinced there will be no agreement on doctrine this side of heaven. I listen regularly. Thanks for listening in Texas, Mark.
Well, to put a fine point on it, there's far more agreement with Bill Barr's beliefs on communion between Lutherans and Catholics. We agree on almost everything except the one thing that kind of ruins it for us, which is we agree that Christ is truly present. We agree that the forgiveness of sins is given there, but we disagree on the nature of this sacrament, not whether or not Christ is truly bodily present, but on what is actually going on in the sacrament. So do I have hope that somehow are we going to spend time at the Making the Case conference trying to convert Dr. Albert Mohler to a sacramental view or Bill Barr away from that? No, that's not the purpose of the conference. That's not why we invited them. But we do want them, actually, to tell you the truth, we do want them to see, and this has been the case with many, many non-Lutheran speakers we have had over the years at these conferences. We want them to see what Lutherans believe and, in particular, how Lutherans worship. How many of our speakers have we just stunned when they sat through Compline, evening prayer, matins, those things, or the hymn sing, and they were just, or the divine service. I remember Tony Esselin in tears during the divine service, at the final divine service at the conference, and he said, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he just said, it's just so amazing to sit in a group of people who are singing these powerful hymns and worshiping with these ancient liturgies. Jennifer Oback Morris, Roman Catholic, said the same thing.
Well, let me give you an example. I just pulled it up. Robert George of Princeton University, frequent guest on the show, one of the preeminent legal scholars in the world. He spoke at last year's Making the Case conference. This is his Facebook post. Whatever your tradition of faith or denomination, if you ever have an opportunity to worship with the Missouri Synod Lutherans, don't pass it up. These are folks who know how to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I promise you, you have never heard such congregational singing of traditional hymns truly edifying. Dr. Robert George, Princeton University, devout Roman Catholic.
And that's one of the things that we want to do is we want to say, hey, we're here and we actually are what we say we are. We are the historic Christian church and we believe and practice and teach what the historic Christian church has. Will those disagreements suddenly disappear because they sit through a Pastor Will Wheaton hymn sing? No.
You don't know.
Well, they could, but we're realistic about that. But I think it's a sign of mutual respect to say, hey, we're going to show you honestly what Lutherans are all about.
Rod Dreher, Hank Hanegraaff, similar sentiments.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking off the top of my head.
I think Terry was pretty impressed, but he'd never say it because he's Orthodox.
Terry Mattingly.
Yes. Because he's Orthodox.
You just had to bring up Terry.
You just can't.
We went from making the case, and you just had to say something about Terry in there. You just had to. By the way, his interview yesterday on the Southern Baptist media coverage of the Southern Baptist report on the sexual abuse scandal was one of the best interviews in the history of our interviews with TMAT.
I was listening to National Public Radio this morning on that subject. They were talking about Southern Baptist Convention. And I was really gratified to see that the reporters that they had on there in a news roundup understood that you cannot always compare the situation in the Roman Catholic Church with the sexual abuse scandal to the Southern Baptist Convention. Although one of the reporters did call it the excuse of their structure. But they seemed to understand that there were actually some differences between a hierarchical Roman Catholic diocese and the Southern Baptist Convention.
All right. Dick in Virginia. In Genesis 1 verse 2, the English Standard Version text says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." When do these waters fit into the creation week schedule of creation events, since they seem to appear before the various creation days begin? Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening in Virginia, Dick.
And they do. So this is the picture that we have in Genesis. You start with that first verse, which is telling you what it's about to describe to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, we have to understand that not to be heaven as God's dwelling place, but the skies and the earth, the two basic divisions that we live with. We live on the earth and everything below us and everything above us. And then we come to the verse you're asking about. Now, the earth was unformed and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. The picture here is of the earth as an undifferentiated mass of stuff. It's formless and it's empty. Get the picture of the waters are mixed with the earth. It's a big mud ball. That's what it is. I'm speaking very basically here. I know all the objections that may come from people versed in geology, but it is an undifferentiated mass. That's what God first forms, just like he does with man. He forms man out of the dust of the earth. He starts with this raw material that is completely undifferentiated, mixed together. And the way they say it is formless and void, that is, without any structure and empty. Then God creates light. You can't work without light, right? He turns on the light. He says the light is good, and he does the first act here where he divides light from darkness. Then he turns his attention, after he's named the light and the darkness, he turns his attention to dividing a firmament from the ground beneath. And then he turns his attention to dividing the sea from the land. So he's bringing order out of chaos. What was unformed and unstructured, he is bringing structure and form to it. Then, after he's got the earth was formless, he forms it, he gives it a structure, basically puts all the, we would say, infrastructure in place, and then he has to deal with the empty part. Then he begins to fill it. So the whole picture here in Genesis is God begins by dividing things so that there is a structure. Then he fills that structure. He fills the sky with the birds and everything that flies. He fills the sea with the creatures that swim. He fills the land with the creatures that walk. That's how the creation proceeds. So the fact that there are undifferentiated waters in this mass of the formless and void earth before he begins the act of division, before he says, let there be light, is not a problem. See, what we've done here is we've kind of said, let there be light is somehow the first act of creation. That's not what the text says. The text says that God has an earth before him that is formless and void. Did he make that earth? Of course, because he's the only one who could. And it said in the verse prior to that, in the beginning, God created. He didn't find the earth floating in space. He created it. And then he begins to give it that structure and fill that structure out. So I don't think there's a real conflict there. We could get into a little more complexities about how there's water above the firmament and water beneath the firmament, but a good Genesis commentary would seem to be in order to explain a lot of that. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. More email and comment line next. When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Are you looking for the historic liturgy of the Church and the true sacraments of our Lord administered rightly? Then we would like to invite you to Zion Lutheran Church in Pampa, Texas, where the Lord gathers us around His gifts of word and sacrament, and where heaven and earth come together. If you live in or are visiting the Northeast Panhandle of Texas, we welcome you to the Divine Service at 10:30 a.m. with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:15. Come join us.
For your next family vacation, consider our beach house, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zilch, Texas. Emmaus Lutheran, South Bend, Indiana. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Toledo, Ohio. Emmanuel Lutheran, Hamilton, Ohio. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Rathdrum, Idaho. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. And St. Paul Lutheran, Emmitsburg, Iowa. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Friday, May 27th.
A good friend and fellow parishioner at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, Roy Askins, continues to do a great job with the Lutheran Witness magazine. You remember the days long ago when sometimes we could go through issues of the Lutheran Witness magazine and not find one potential interview?
Oh, yes.
Issues, et cetera.
Oh, no, it was a barren wasteland. We couldn't find anything to interview anybody about sometimes. Not always, but a lot of times. A lot has changed, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. And I think one of President Harrison, President of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the magazine was reformed under Adrian Hines at the time. Adrian Dorr at the time. Now Adrian Dorr Hines. And
now we can interview every author without worrying about it.
Exactly. As it should be. It's peace on earth.
Right.
Goodwill toward men.
And if you would have told me as 10 years ago, I got to go farther back than 10 years. if you had told me when I started doing this show that there would be a day when we could interview any author in the Lutheran Witness on the subject they've written on without having to worry about whether or not it was going to be a Lutheran conversation, I would have said, it will never happen. I would have assured you it would never happen. But I was wrong.
Again, another example of reforms being made under President Matt Harrison's leadership. Just in case someone throws out, President Harrison hasn't done anything. But it started with Adrian Doerr and then Rachel Bomberger, and now continues excellent content with Pastor Roy Askins. The latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine, the theme is, get it right, Church and State in a Time of War. Column from Dr. Cameron McKenzie, a regular guest on the show, The Word and the Sword, Can the Church Speak to the State About War? A column on Speaking to the Serviceman's Heart, Martin Luther's Whether Soldiers Too Can Be Saved, and Chaplain Jonathan Shaw, The Russia-Ukraine War, Evaluating the Conflict Through the Just War Tradition. These are just some of the columns you can read in the June-July issues of the Lutheran Witness magazine. It's available in print and online for less than $20 a year. You listen to Issues, etc., you should be reading the Lutheran Witness magazine. You can learn more at cph.org/witness, or we've got hyperlinks on our website, at least until June 1st, at issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Lutheran Witness magazine. Anything else you want to add?
No. You covered it.
Jonathan. Jonathan has 7 points. I quit going to the Lutheran church, or any church for that matter, because one, the pastors only care about big salaries. Two, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod is filled with divorced and remarried people when the Bible specifically calls this a sin. To your average LCMS parishioner, divorce and remarriage are not a sin. Three, the Lutheran churches are filled with people that cohabit. Four, the Lutheran pastors are ass-kissing charlatans. Five, I have actually had an LCMS pastor tell me maybe the resurrection didn't occur. Six, I have had LCMS pastors tell me that Genesis is a fable. Seven, my fellow congregants believe on all sorts of wacky evangelical eschatological scenarios. Why bother? Concludes Jonathan.
Well, you went to the, no offense, but you went to the wrong LCMS church. You found a real lemon, if you ask me. Let's be realistic. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has many, many, many excellent congregations, and it has some like you found. I wouldn't write off the whole thing because you happen to have found a bad to perhaps worst example of what a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation can be. No confessional Lutheran pastor should ever call into question the resurrection. They are literally undermining the faith of their people. They should never call into question the creation account. They're undermining the faith of their people. They're not paid that well. Maybe the one that you attended, the pastor was, but they're really not paid that well. And you are absolutely right. The problem of divorce and cohabitation in many of our congregations is scandalous. And there are pastors, sad to say, that just turn a blind eye toward it and thereby teach their people that these things are not sins of which they need to repent. So you're absolutely right there. But I would say, go to our Find a Church page and find one near you and try one of those. Because while there are those examples of congregations that are being, sounds like, grossly mismanaged, pastoral misconduct and malpractice, there are many, many faithful pastors who are teaching what God's word says. So don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. You happen to have found a terrible example of a Lutheran church. And I apologize, but they should be the ones apologizing to you. I would put this into, if I were you, I would put this into writing, not only to us, but to the pastor of the church you were attending, and say, this is why I left. This is not good.
I do think that it would be wise for the listener to read his email out loud. He spends 7 points pointing out God's law. But his first point is, I quit going to the Lutheran church or any church for that matter, because there's an open violation of the commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy.
Sure.
So just because you've had bad experiences doesn't mean you separate yourself from Christ, his word, and his sacraments.
Agreed. So there's fault on both sides here.
Amen. This comes from Mark in Dakota Dunes, South Dakota. Dear Jeff and Todd, my wife and I have been listening to the Issues Etc. podcast for years, normally after we retire and are in bed for the night. We found the podcast to be informative, and the pleasant-sounding voices of Todd and his guests sometimes have a somniferous effect. At our age, that's a benefit. We've been listening to the St. Peter Option episodes, and I wanted to thank you for bringing us a little joy. Without fail, whenever we hear Todd say Concordia Catechetical Academy, my wife either giggles or laughs. It's not out of disrespect. She giggles because she can't say it. Believe me, she has tried. But the thought of completing Concordia Catechetical Academy derails her around Concord. We listened to episode 19 last night. Yup, it still gets her. She even laughs when I say we've got another Peter Bender of Concordia Catechetical Academy. Could you please give a shout out to Thelma? Thanks again, concludes Mark in Dakota Dunes, South Dakota. Well, there's your shout out, Thelma.
I wonder if Mark knows good old Michael Cum. Isn't he at Dakota Dunes?
He's somewhere in South Dakota. Yeah, I think that sounds familiar.
If I'm not mistaken, that's kind of like the garden spot of South Dakota.
And who is Michael Cum?
He's a former colleague of mine, my old senior pastor. He's the voice of Issues, etc. If you hear one of our liners, that's Pastor Michael Cum's voice. He also happens to be, for a short time here, the chairman of the board of directors of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and a model pastor, if you ask me. A model pastor.
Extremely faithful.
Yes.
We could use a few more Pastor Michael Cums. Jake in Michigan. Dear Pastor Wilkin and Jeff. Sometimes I feel like it's like Burger Chef and Jeff. Do you remember Burger Chef and Jeff?
No.
Is Burger Chef is not still around, is it?
I haven't. My
Burger King.
Tori
is.
And I were talking about this just the other day. We both used to go to Burger Chef's when we were kids. But yeah, I haven't seen one in years.
Did they not have them in Texas?
No.
Todd acts like he's never heard Burger Chef.
I know Burger King.
The thing I liked about Burger Chef, I don't know if you remember this, Craig, you could make your own burgers. It was like a salad bar. You could literally go and make a burger and put whatever you want on it.
You want more pickle?
They got it. Exactly.
More onion? Right there.
Exactly. But it must have been a failed business plan. There must not have been enough of Craig and Jeff's who liked Burger Chef. But it was Burger Chef and Jeff. I don't know what Jeff was. I just know I liked the marketing slogan because it had my name in it. Anyway, I digress. Dear Pastor Wilkin and Jeff, I've deeply appreciated your steadfast and balanced approach in discussing sensitive political topics the past 2 years. Issues Etc. has continually brought forward multiple points of view to discuss some of the most divisive topics in our present age in a clear and ordered approach. From Molly Hemingway to Lyman Stone to having former Attorney General Bill Barr speak at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. Is that true?
I'm beginning to believe it is.
Issues Etc. has stood the line in the face of what appears as a constant stream of daily calls for disorderly, mob-like conduct from both sides in the civil kingdom. Thank you for continually confessing our Christian duty to obey those placed in authority over us. Reference 1 Peter 2, Romans 13, Dr. Luther's treatise, whether soldiers too can be saved, in the face of some vitriol and hatefulness. This steadfast, unwavering confession in support of the rule of law and submission to authorities in the face of voices across the political spectrum, beckoning for the rule of passion over reason, is why I have remained a committed listener for almost 10 years. Thanks for listening in the great state of Michigan, Jake.
Well, we are happy to do that for you, and we will continue to do it for all of our listeners. There is a lot of bad speech out there, bad in many different ways. But, you know, I don't know who said it. I've heard it repeated by many people. The best answer to bad speech is more good speech. So the best answer to the incivility of our deeply divided society is more civility with one another. And it's not simply setting the example. It's also providing a lifeline to those listeners who, well, they're getting barraged from all sides every place else. We just want to have a conversation. When we come back, we'll be studying the hymn, Christ is the World's Redeemer.
On the radio, uh-oh. On the radio, uh-oh. Times of war have caused people throughout history to ask questions about the existence of God and the existence of evil. And yet we must confess that even amidst the terrors of war, God remains God. Nothing happens that he does not, at the very least, allow. If you've wondered these very things, especially as you've watched the war in Ukraine, you might find some of the answers you're looking for in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness, Church and State in a Time of War. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe, or our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Terry Mattingly is the eternal boomer. In other words, he, due to the circumstances of his birth, is lame.
Here's some feedback from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Terry can be counted on to deliver his boring, blasé take in his irritatingly pseudo-profound fashion. Anyway, lame. May God have mercy on Terry and Issues Etc. You're all a bunch of lame boomers.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.